Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This will be our third presentation on the theme of the home as God would have it, indeed the Christian home. And our topic today is that the home is the foundation of society. Now, the home is older, either, of course, than the Lord's church. But like the church, it originated in the mind of God. The home is a divine institution. And no home will ever be what it ought to be if there's a disregard of the one who has founded it. The home, again like the church, is composed of human beings. The first home consisted of Adam and Eve, created by God, given a residence in the Garden of Eden. And from that day till this, the home has been the basic and fundamental unit of society. As goes the home, so goes almost everything else. The collapse of the home, friend, will mean the collapse of a society. God gave mankind the home for the benefit of mankind from infancy to the grave. And let us suggest some reasons why God planned the home arrangement as he did. Well, first, it provides an honorable birth for children. The Lord told Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." There was a command given to the first man and the first woman. Children born out of wedlock do not enter this world in a manner pleasing to God. Now, this is no fault of the child, but it is because of the sins of its parents. It is God's will that through the home and through holy marriage that children are born. And without this, there is the spread of degeneracy and immorality that eventually destroys all who are involved, including the level of society. But again, the home provides protection and help and physical provision for all of its members. You see, parents provide for the children. The physical necessities of each one comes through the cooperation and the work of members of the home. We're expected to provide for our own in sickness, in health, in good times, hard times, all times. We have a duty to each other to provide for the things that are necessary in the physical realm for the sustenance of life, and that's accomplished through the home. And again, the home is the primary training ground of the soul. Now, too many have wanted to shift this responsibility to the church totally, or even to the schools. But it belongs to the home. The child comes into the world as a piece of clay that is moldable and dependent. Children can be taught and trained to know the difference between right and wrong, the difference between good and evil. Friend, to teach them, that is a duty that belongs to fathers and mothers. Some parents, unfortunately, are more concerned about their child's development in sports and their mental growth, their academic attainment, their physical and social advancement than they are in the welfare of their soul and their relationship before God, before whom they shall someday stand in judgment. At the root of many of the problems of many young people is the neglect of parents to assure their children of the spiritual training and information from the Word of God. We have read how that the Apostle Paul said fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Parents are taught to train their children, bring them up in the proper way. We need more fathers like a young father who stood before the glass partition in the hospital, gazing with admiration on his newborn child, and he prayed, "God, give me to realize that this is more than just another mouth to feed, but a living soul to train for thee." We need parents with that disposition. And friend, the home is also a basic unit to provide for the elderly. Yes, there comes a time when the young must provide for the old, just as the old once provided for the young. The Christian home is built upon God's plan for marriage, and Jesus taught that plan. In Matthew chapter 19, he taught it as God had originally intended it from the Garden of Eden, that man should leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, and what God had joined together let not man put asunder. We need to understand that when we marry, it's no longer a life of a matter of I, me, and mine, and you and yours. In marriage, there is to be the oneness that recognizes that from this day forward, the relationship is we and us and ours. And we'll have much more to say about that when we talk about the husband and wife as a team, which will be our next theme after this. There is to be this oneness in the home, and this oneness must extend to include both mates united in Christ for both young and old. Death ends marriage in the sight of God, Romans 7, 2 and 3. But God does not require one to continue with a mate who is sexually unfaithful to them, Matthew 19, 9. This is the only cause and the only permission for a marriage partner to divorce their mate according to the will of God. Now, I know society will grant divorce for almost any reason or even no reason at times, but God allows only one reason for divorce. So if one is divorced and fornication has not been the reason, then they have not obeyed God and they have transgressed His will. God's foundation for the home is that the husband and wife enter marriage with respect for the lifelong existence of marriage. And friend, no court, no judge, no legislative body, no circumstances other than fornication has the power to dissolve marriage. And remarriages that are entered without the earlier marriage being dissolved by death or divorce due to fornication, that's an adulterous union, adulterous in nature, and it will never be acceptable before God. It will not be an honorable home. Only the innocent party has the right to remarry. But again, the home is a place of companionship. God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help, meet or suitable for him." Now this was God's concern for mankind. God made for the male a suitable companion in the female. There are many things can destroy this companionship and do destroy the companionship sometime. Drunkenness, selfishness, failure to accept the duties of marriage, sexual infidelity. Married people should enjoy the companionship of one another. They do not have one another forever. You just ask those who have been called upon to bury their mate with about companionship. Husbands and wives should live life together. Each should live in such a way that the other can admire them, desire them, seek their company, respect them. And when this is done, the inevitable time comes for the parting through death. It can be said we had a wonderful Christian companionship together. Yes, the Christian home is where the husband is the leader of the home, and the spiritual leadership is also on his shoulders. Sad it is that so many men have neglected this, and it's a most serious duty. Often it is the wife of the mother who must give direction in the service of God. Friend, that's not the way it ought to be. A man ought to be ashamed to be so weak as to fail in what is his number one responsibility toward his family. It is far more important than physical provision, and this does not minimize that duty either. Each husband and father ought to commit himself to lead his wife and his children to God through Christ and his church. Regardless of whatever else he may achieve in life, when he does this, He is a success before his Creator and Almighty God. And he's a failure if he does not do this with all of his power and ability. Often one parent or the other will keep the home divided religiously. Oh, this is so disturbing to children as well as to others. It brings a strain on the ties of love and respect and oneness. It destroys opportunity for the training of children aright. It creates confusion and frustration, and is often the means of destruction of faith in the hearts of the members of the family. Two fathers were talking together one day, and one said, "I give my son the very best education." The other commended him for that, but he added, "Do not rob him of the greatest gift you can give him." And the first father said, "And what is that?" And the second responded, "Do not fail to give him the memory of having a Christian father, a Christian example, a Christian upbringing, something no other man can give him." And when children are deprived of having a memory of devoted Christian father and mother, they have been cheated from the greatest security and comfort and pattern and faith and confidence that they could ever receive. Ah, yes, happy is that home where the family is led by a Christian man and a Christian woman. In the Christian home, the mother, of course, is the queen. Behind every good man, there's usually the encouragement and support and advice of a good woman. The influence upon children, either for good or for bad, that is the power of the mother, cannot be measured because of its enormity. It's true, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So often men have accomplished great things and have had the benefit of a mother who sacrificed themselves in the training of their children. Of course, this was their duty. They considered it a privilege. Nor were they inattentive and negligent in performing their godly task. It is a shame when men and women have become so interested in other things such as social prominence, political ambition, financial goals, that they have denied the children the proper guidance and the comfort that God intended to be provided by the mother. The worthy woman of whom we read in Proverbs chapter 31, she was such that her husband praised her. Her children called her blessed. Well, this could not be said if she failed in her God-given role of a wife and of a mother. Well, let us present a few straightforward words to the young, especially to those who have reached their teen years. They need to give heed that they too are accountable before God. They ought to become Christians. They need to be taught to become Christians. They need to be taught the way of salvation. They need to be taught the duties and responsibilities of being a child of God. That is paramount in importance concerning making the home as God would have it to be. A rebellious child, indeed, is a strain upon the home. But a child that is loyal, obedient, respectful, obedient to God, that child would contribute to the welfare and good of the home. But the home is not what it ought to be if there be young people of accountable age who refuse to obey the gospel. We would plead with our young to give heed to those things of the soul and of the spirit and let them be the guide of their life. Well, we'll talk some more about the home in our next broadcast. We hope you'll be with us. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.